Have you ever loaded up the airplane for a weekend trip? Passengers in the back, bags in the cargo area, full fuel, and just assumed it was fine because the airplane has four seats? I'm Pattern on Traffic Pattern, right here on Radio Hangar, and today we need to talk about the math that nobody wants to do but everybody needs to understand. Weight and balance, because those four seats are a suggestion, not a promise. Shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial? They've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter. AviationSoul.com. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. Your airplane does not care that you paid for four seats. It cares about physics. And physics says there is a maximum weight this airframe was tested to, and there is a range of center of gravity positions where the airplane will actually fly the way it was designed to fly. Go outside either of those limits and you're now a test pilot in an airplane that was never meant to be tested that way. Let's walk through this together because it is one of those topics that looks boring on paper but could absolutely save your life on a Saturday morning when your buddy and his wife want to fly to the coast for lunch. So first, the basics. Every airplane has a maximum gross takeoff weight. For a Cessna 172, depending on the model, that is somewhere around 2,400 pounds. Sounds like a lot until you start adding things up. The airplane itself. Empty, with all its permanent equipment, oil, and unusable fuel, weighs somewhere around 1,500 to 1,600 pounds depending on your specific airplane. That number is called the basic empty weight, and it is listed in the weight and balance data in your airplane's pilot operating handbook, the POH. You do not guess this number, you look it up. And here's the thing, every airplane is different, even two of the same model. If someone installed a GPS stack, that added weight. If someone swapped out the interior, that changed the weight and potentially the center of gravity. So you use the specific data for your specific airplane, and it should have been updated the last time any modification was made. Now let's do the math for a real scenario. Say your Cessna 172 has a basic empty weight of 1,550 pounds. You weigh 180, your front seat passenger weighs 170, your two back seat passengers weigh 150 and 160. That is 660 pounds of people added up. 1550 plus 660 is 2210 pounds. You have not added a single drop of fuel or a single bag yet, and you're already at 2210 pounds. Full fuel in a 172 is 56 gallons usable. Aviation fuel weighs 6 pounds per gallon. That is 336 pounds of fuel, 2210 plus 336. 2546 pounds. You just blew past your max gross weight by about 150 pounds. And nobody even brought a suitcase. This is the moment that ruins Saturday morning plans. And this is exactly why you do the calculation before you drive to the airport, not after everyone is standing on the ramp expecting to go flying. Now you have choices. You can take less fuel, but that means a shorter range, and you need to recalculate whether you can make your destination with the required reserves. Federal Aviation Regulation 91.1.51 says you need enough fuel to fly to your first point of intended landing during the day under visual flight rules, and then fly 30 minutes beyond that at normal cruise. That is not optional. That is the law, but it does mean you do not have to depart with full tanks if you do not need full tanks. Maybe you only need 35 gallons for your trip with a proper reserve. That saves you 126 pounds right there. Or you can leave a passenger behind. Nobody wants to have that conversation, but the airplane does not negotiate. Or you can reduce baggage. Maybe the golf club stay home. The point is, you work the problem on paper first. Now, here's where it gets more interesting, and honestly more dangerous. Even if you're under max gross weight, you still need to check your center of gravity. This is the part that a lot of students gloss over because they pass the weight check and they think they are done. You are not done, center of gravity. Or CG is the point along the airplane's longitudinal axis where it balances. Think of it like a seesaw. If all the weight is in the front, the nose is heavy. If all the weight is in the back, the tail is heavy. Your airplane was designed to fly with the CG within a specific range, published in the POH as a forward limit and an aft limit, measured in inches from a reference point called the datum. A forward CG means the airplane is nose heavy. It will be more stable, but it will require more back pressure to flare for landing. It will use more fuel because the tail has to push down harder. And in an extreme case, you might not have enough elevator authority to properly round out. You will run out of back yoke before the airplane runs out of descent rate. An aft CG is worse. Much worse. An airplane that is loaded behind the aft CG limit becomes increasingly unstable. It wants to pitch up, and once it does, you may not have enough forward elevator to push the nose back down. This is the configuration that leads to unrecoverable stalls. The airplane departs controlled flight and you are a passenger. This is not theoretical. People have died from loading the baggage compartment too heavy on a Cessna 172. So how do you calculate it? It is multiplication and addition. Every item you put in the airplane has a weight and an arm. The arm is the distance in inches from the datum to where that item sits. You multiply the weight times the arm, and you get a moment. You do this for every item. The pilot, the front passenger, the rear passengers, the fuel, the baggage. Then you add up all the weights to get total weight, and you add up all the moments to get total moment. Divide total moment by total weight, and you get your CG position in inches from the datum. Then you take that CG number and that total weight number, and you plot them on the CG envelope chart in your POH. If the dot falls inside the envelope, you are legal. If it falls outside, you're not going flying with that load, period. Let me give you a practical tip. Most students learn to do this by hand with a table, and that is exactly how you should learn it. The Airman Certification Standards for the Private Pilot Certificate specifically require you to determine that the airplane is within weight and balance limits. The examiner is looking for you to actually work the numbers, not just wave your hand and say it is fine. They want to see the table, they want to see the math. They want to see you plot the point on the chart. But here is the real-world skill that matters even more than passing the check ride. You need to be able to do a quick mental check before you ever sit down with the chart. Know your airplane's useful load. That is the max gross weight minus the basic empty weight. For a lot of 172s, that is somewhere around 800 to 850 pounds. That is everything. People, fuel, bags. If you know your useful load is 800 pounds and you have three adults who average 180 each, that is 540 in people alone. You have 260 left for fuel and baggage. 260 divided by 6 pounds per gallon is about 43 gallons of fuel, and that leaves nothing for bags. You can see the problem before you ever open the PO. Now let's talk about what changes during the flight, because this trips people up. As you burn fuel, your weight decreases. That is obvious. But your CG also shifts because the fuel tanks have a specific arm, and as fuel weight goes away, the remaining weight distribution changes. In most trainers, the fuel tanks are near the CG range anyway, so the shift is small. But in some airplanes, particularly with fuel in the wings far from the CG, or with tip tanks, the shift matters. Your POH will have data for this. You should check your weight and CG for takeoff and for landing, especially on a long cross country where you will burn a significant amount of fuel. Here is a scenario that catches people. You fly to your destination with two passengers. You pick up a third for the return trip. Now you have a different load, a different CG, and you need to redo the calculation. A lot of pilots do the math once for the outbound leg and then just assume the return is fine. It might not be, especially if that third passenger sits in the back seat with a heavy bag in the cargo area behind them. You could be within weight but behind the aft CG limit, and that is the dangerous one. Another scenario, you're planning a cross country and you need to make a fuel stop. This is actually a weight and balance opportunity. If you cannot take full fuel with full passengers, plan to depart with reduced fuel, fly a shorter first leg, land, drop off passengers or not, and then fill the tanks. You might plan your route specifically around airports that have fuel available, not just any airport, but airports where the fuel price is reasonable and the pump is actually operating. Check NOTAMs for fuel availability. I have seen pilots plan a fuel stop at an airport where the only pump was out of service. That is a bad surprise when you are already light on fuel. The Airman Certification Standards also want you to understand the effect of weight and balance on performance. This is where the weight and balance calculation connects to everything else in your cross-country planning. A heavier airplane needs a longer runway to take off. It climbs slower. It cruises at a lower true airspeed for the same power setting. It uses more fuel per hour. And it needs a longer runway to land. All of these factors go into your planning. So if you're at max gross weight departing from an airport at 4,000 feet elevation on a hot day, you had better check those performance charts too. Your takeoff roll might double compared to what you're used to at sea level on a cool morning with just you and your instructor in the airplane. The weight and balance calculation is not a standalone exercise. It feeds into your takeoff distance calculation, your climb performance, your fuel burn estimate, and your landing distance at the destination. Let me share one more practical technique. Build a template for your airplane. Write out the stations, pilot and front passenger arm, rear passenger's arm, fuel arm, baggage area 1, arm baggage area 2 if you have one arm. The arms do not change. They are fixed by the design of the airplane, so you only need to fill in the weights for each flight. This makes the calculation take about 2 minutes instead of 10, because you are not hunting through the POH for numbers you should already know. Some pilots use apps or electronic calculators for this. That is fine for real-world operations, but learn to do it by hand first. Understand what the numbers mean. If your app tells you you are at the AFCG limit, you should understand why that matters and what it feels like in the airplane, not just that a red warning popped up on your phone. And here's the honest truth about weight and balance. It is the pre-flight task that is most often skipped entirely. Pilots load the airplane, eyeball it, and go for a lot of flights. With one or two people and partial fuel, you are probably fine. But probably fine is not how professionals operate, and it is definitely not how you pass a checkride. More importantly, it is not how you survive the one flight where the numbers actually matter. The examiner will give you a scenario on your checkride. They will tell you the weights of the passengers and the baggage, and they will ask you to determine whether the airplane is within limits. They might give you a scenario that is intentionally over gross weight or outside the CG envelope to see if you catch it and say, no, we cannot fly with this load. That is the right answer. The examiner wants to hear you say no when the numbers say no, this has been traffic pattern. I pulled the weight and balance procedures from the Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge Chapter 10 and the Airman Certification Standards for the Private Pilot. And of course, your specific airplane's POH is always the final authority. More at radiohanger.com. The math is not hard, it is just multiplication. But it is the multiplication that decides whether the airplane flies like an airplane or like something else entirely. Do the numbers every time. See you next time.